I so enjoyed Daisy telling me some of the stories her mother told her about her teenage years, the music festivals in huge fields she and Daisy's dad went to, where up-and-coming rock singers entertained thousands of teenagers who turned up. Carefree teenagers who came to see their favourite bands while they danced until the early hours. It took me back to when I was one. It is in part three, titled The Stepfather, that Daisy's life changes, and not for the better. Yet to begin with, when she is barely nine, she manages to cope with extraordinary calmness. It is her brother she worries about much more than her own life. As for the rest of her story, I don't want to spoil it by giving away too much. In books that I write, I do try and cover certain themes and make certain points. In No Going Home, telling Daisy's story, I wanted to show to readers who are parents the long-time harm that watching porn does to children. It's a central part of Daisy's story and the experiences she is forced to participate in, and it's accessible on nearly all devices. You will see in this book how it has affected people, and I strongly believe that more needs to be done to block these sites for children. I hope you enjoy listening to Daisy's story as much as I enjoyed writing it. Tony Maguire, January 2022. Prologue. The Boy. There is another story linked to the one I'm going to tell you. It's about the boy. I call him that, for it was the name his stepfather gave him. He, I have also given no name to. I might have heard it, but I've erased it from my mind. For he doesn't deserve to have one. And even if he once had parents who gave him a name, in my wildest imagination, I cannot picture him being christened in a church, so I shall just call him the man. The boy cannot remember what life was like before his mother moved into the building the man owned. Miles away from the nearest town, with only a long, rutted path, just wide enough for a truck to drive on, to connect them to the main road. With the thick undergrowth and woods on either side of it, few passers-by would have thought anyone lived there. Nor would they have been able to see the sweeping fields behind the building. In some, grazing cattle munched comfortably away, while others were planted with the man's crops. It was not corn or wheat that he grew, but leafy green marijuana plants. The boy was not to know what made his father's crop different from the other farmers a mile or so away. But then, when he was still little, he had no way of understanding that the house, infested with mice and spiders, was one that even the poorest families would not have agreed to live in. Outside the back door was a small hut that housed nothing more than an old battered tin bath. It was there that the boy and his two younger siblings had their weekly bath. Without running water in the hut, it took a good many buckets, which had to be carried from the house to fill it. Not that there was a proper kitchen inside, just several rooms, where in one a tap gave water and a camping stove was used to cook on. The first sounds that stayed in the boy's head were not birdsong, nor the doleful echo of the cows mooing when they were led into the truck, but the screams of the woman he knew as his mother. The one who cuddled him when the man was not around. The one who told him to hide when the man returned home. The one he loved. I'm sure that once, before he came to live in the man's house, the boy must have had a few good memories of being tucked up in bed and sitting on his mother's knee for a cuddle. But once they moved in with the man, those memories were replaced with ones that only belong to our nightmares. The boy's first memory, the one he has never managed to erase, is the picture of the florid-faced man towering over his mother, bellowing drunkenly with rage. That night, the boy had done what she had told him to do, hidden under the table as soon as he heard the truck's engine, and stayed there until she knew just what his mood was. For the boy was only four, far too small to have the man's meaty fists connect with his small, vulnerable body. His young bones could break, while hers were stronger. There were times when the man returned with good humor written on his face, a brace of bloodied rabbits he had shot.